Lawyer talk, they don't teach you that in law school. What is that? Well, we're going to talk here with Troy, our resident law student, aspiring young legal mind who works from the upstairs. We talk about stuff that he's not learning in law school, and he's what he's really learning is how it really works upstairs. And you can check us out, by the way, lawyertalkpodcast.com. Check us out on YouTube. Leave a comment. If you got a topic you want us to cover here at the law school table, or when you explore the catalog, you will see I cover things like appellate work. We cover general breakdown stuff. If you got a question about anything, I'll do my best to either answer it myself, talk about it myself, or get somebody in here who knows what the hell they're doing that can answer it for us. But, you know, it's funny today, Troy, we were talking that here's what happens. We spend the week upstairs, and we do these on Thursdays, and we usually talk about what we're going to talk about when they don't teach you that in law school. And this week, we haven't had a chance to actually do that. So as we were sitting here pondering, all right, now what, our producer, by the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant, check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you. But Brett had this idea, like, why don't you talk about that? Because isn't that what it's like in the real world where you get so darn busy, you don't have time to even think about the stuff you want to do?
Yeah, like in law school, they pretty much just only highlight the positive, magical sides of lawyers. They're just like, well, you guys are going to, they tell you, like, you're going to have an amazing life. I don't know, drive nice cars, do all like these big cases and like change the world. And it kind of is not like that, like at all.
No, the world changes you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
the world just kind of pounds you down. It's just like terrible. But,
well, and look, I mean, they used to say those who teach and those who do. And usually those don't cross over. But that's not necessarily true in law school. There's a lot of adjunct professors who have a real practice on the side and they come in and teach. But a lot of those guys work in law firms, law firms. And so, you know, you got big law. So you've got huge law firms, little or maybe big law firms, smaller law firms, medium law firms, really small law firms, then us. You know, it's like, and I've had as many as four or five lawyers working for me at one time. And now we're just a couple of us. But
that's really like as large as like, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like most criminal practices, like if you get to like four or five, that's kind of big. Like it is.
Yeah. Because
you're mostly like, it's mostly like a local operation. Like
now I started with a guy named Eric Yavich. He's deceased since 2008, but we created Yavich and Palmer. And at the time it was almost unheard of to have a partnership like that doing criminal defense. There's more of those now, but at the time we did it, We were actually would walk around sort of bragging, we're the only criminal defense firm in town. Firm meaning we had two of us. And then we hired
massive
three
firm.
And then four and then five. We had up to five. And it was getting unwieldy for all sorts of reasons because, you know, I'll tell you what they don't teach you in law school about that is a lot of criminal defense work involves co-defendants. So back in the days when I started, it was nearly a moment when I didn't have a multi-defendant federal drug conspiracy in the office of some sort where we're representing somebody who's accused with, you know, 5-10 other people of importing or exporting cocaine, marijuana, whatever. And as criminal defense lawyers, you can't represent co-defendants. There's conflicts of interest. So if you have a group of lawyers, a lot of times people would come in and they would say, hey, look, can't you just represent my buddy over here? He's charged with me. I'm like, I can't. Any conflict I have is the same as my partner's. So the more you add, you can limit yourself too. So now I can refer a case to somebody I share space with, and we share space with Paul Scarsella, great lawyer, and he's been on the show here with us. Now we can work together. Sometimes our interests are aligned, sometimes they're not, but we don't have any conflicts of interest. And that's one of those sort of practical sides they don't teach you in law school.
It's like a great, like, I don't know, I guess it makes it like the easiest way possible because passing along information to each other, not trying to like help each other out, but
we're
like
allowed
discover-
to do that. Yeah, we're allowed to do that if it benefits our clients. Mm. We're not allowed to do that if it doesn't.
But like even like just like discovery or something like that, or like, did you see this? And like it's just super nice being able to just walk into the other room and be like, hey, did you see really this? Good. Like it's like, yeah, all right, cool.
And then, you know, if you look at any business model, ramping up a criminal practice to have that many associates, it gets stressful, right? So I tell you what they're not teaching. Maybe in your third year they've got how to start a law practice or something like that. I don't know. But
I took it my second year.
You took it your second
year?
Well,
I took it in the fall. But I think I was like one of the only two L's in there. One L's First year, two L's. Second year, three L's. Third year.
That's fancy talk for first, second, third, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, and then four L's, like, you know.
You didn't make it.
No, no, no. You're just taking your time. Well,
at Capital,
there's evening students,
students
too. Yeah,
night students. Yeah,
5L. All right, man. Come on. I'm kidding.
But look, the stressful part of starting a law practice, particularly starting out, one, you don't know what the hell you're doing. Now you're gonna have your boots under you a little bit because you've seen how to do it. And I remember when I worked for my mentors. Even simple things such as what supplies to buy,
mm-hmm.
I learned. And I wouldn't have been able to learn that without trial and error. I learned what manila folders, this is back when we used paper files, were the best, the kind that had the double top, what stickers that you put on them that actually worked and stuck, how you printed an envelope, how do you send a letter, how do you organize your files, what goes on this side, what goes on that side, how do you keep track? And now there's practice management software that does some of this for you. Which practice management software do you like? These are all things that you have to figure out on your own because they don't teach you that in law school. And part and parcel with that, with starting that practice, the other stressful part is you not only know what you're doing, don't know what you're doing with like the nuts and bolts side of it, the management side of it, but you got to get the business. And this may be what you have to be a special kind of, you have to really, really like the pain and punishment if you're going to start your own criminal defense practice, because I lay awake at night 30 years later wondering when my phone's going to ring next to this day. And I will say my phone always tends to ring. I've been blessed that way and I am very thankful for that, but people call me and they need my help and they always have. Even when back before internet marketing, when we had just yellow page marketing, I never did much of any of that. But I was lucky. I had made some contacts and I slowly grew my business and I've been charmed that way. But I still worry about it. And I imagine they're not telling you in law school, what do you do?
Well, I think everybody just thinks you come out and just automatically like make money. And most people in the criminal defense area, most of my friends, they start out in the public defender's office. And I remember my roommate actually, he was talking down on public defenders, and I was telling him, I was like, one, these people move to Columbus, they don't know anybody here. You think they're just going to show up here and just magically pull in work? Like, they have to start building a network here. They have to start finding people who will call them. Their phones don't just, like you're saying, magically ring.
So here's the juxtaposition of this that you've just highlighted, whether you did it unwittingly or you actually realized what you were doing. Because at the public defender's office, they're learning how, maybe not always correctly, or maybe not always the way I would do it, but they're at least learning how to be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
They're interacting with judges, interacting with prosecutors. They're learning the files, but they're missing a component of it that the market teaches you. And the component of it is client contact and client relations. Because at the public defender's office, you're not beholden to your phone ringing. You're not. So what does that mean? I mean, you watch it. You see us interact with clients all the time. I mean, what do you see the distinction as?
Well, the first thing I was going to say is I feel like your phone rings when we're like the busiest. And it's like, I think it's just kind of funny that.
As my buddy says, bananas. It's like bananas. They come in bunches.
You're like, oh my gosh, we have so much to do today. And then all I do is hear you in the office all day talking to new clients, like just trying to pull them. But I mean, the phone call comes in, it goes to you, and it's pretty much it's almost like a sales pitch kind of deal. But these people are going through maybe the worst day of their life when they're calling you. That's what sucks. And then you're trying to like calm them down, talk to them, try and give them the best strategy, and give them your elevator pitch. But this elevator pitch isn't short. I mean, it's a very long elevator ride, and it's kind of like fresh. And I understand, I sympathize with them. Like this is a very hard time for them. But at the end of the day, this is a business, and like if you want like premier work, like you have to pay for it. But they also want to know what they're spending that money on. And it's just a hard.
Well, they do. So, and this is the juxtaposition with the public defenders is they don't have to do that. And this is also one of the prime complaints we get from folks who worked with public defenders. And look, I take my hat off to you folks doing court appointed public defender work, because it is hard ass work, and you're doing God's work in a lot of ways, because that is, you know, that's a slog, man. But what they don't have to do is worry about the phone ringing the next time. So it really is this understanding of what people are hiring when they hire a private lawyer. And the reason I have that long conversation with people is that I've learned over the years that what people want, or what's really going on with an attorney-client relationship, is a trust relationship. So people have to feel comfortable with what I'm telling them, because it's a leap of faith, right? I mean, they don't know that on their own. Like they're going to be talking about making the hardest decisions of their life with some dude that they met, or that somebody referred them to, or they saw online, or they just happened to make a phone call.
Yeah.
And people have to be comfortable with that. They have to be comfortable with that. The advice they're getting is they can rely on it. They can take it to the bank, because it's a leap of faith. And a lot of people complain that their public defenders, well, they never called me back, or and it's because the public defenders don't have to do it. And this is not a knock on the PDs. It is not. But in the private sector, if I want my phone to ring, then I have to understand what clients need and want out of their lawyer, and then supply that. And that's not to say the need is wrong. It's absolutely legitimate. Because I have said in my conference room time and time again, you've heard me, I'm a problem solver. Like, you come to me, it doesn't mean I don't go to trial. I mean, I'm not a plea artist or whatever. I'll try cases when I need to. But sometimes the solution to the problem is a jury trial. Sometimes the solution to the problem is something less than that, a plea bargain. Sometimes the solution to, like, your problem might be, all right, you've got, or I have a client with an alcohol issue, or I have a client with a certain job, I have a client who's a professional license holder. Like, their problems are all unique, and I have to figure all that out and then help craft a solution to the problem. And I think clients, people want that. They need that, because that's lawyering. It's not just going into a courtroom and questioning witnesses. In fact, that's a pretty small part of what we do. So if we're, and now if I don't do that effectively, if I'm not open and in tune with that, and it's not, again, I'm not complaining about this. This is part of the job I enjoy. You know, we're counselors. So if we don't do that, then my phone's not going to ring. And if my phone doesn't ring, I don't have any business. And if you're on the public defender side, it doesn't matter, because you've got a job. And public defenders, I think, have to learn this when they come out, because they haven't had to do this. It doesn't mean they can't. It doesn't mean they're not great lawyers. Some of the best trial lawyers I've ever seen, public defenders. But, you know, on the business side of it, it's a different beast. They don't teach you that. I mean,
they don't.
They don't. And most, I've often remarked, you've heard me, I think everybody at some point in the legal profession should have to do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you learn to feel the actual concerns of people, as opposed to just numbers and facts.
I think the phone calling is also a little more stressful in this industry. I think it's the same for like PI and like family. And I think we've touched on this before, is a lot of these other, all the adjuncts that we have, they're like, yeah, we have a contract with this company. We have a contract with this company. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, your phone is going to ring, maybe not as much as you want, but like, you're guaranteed a ring from that company. You guaranteed some pipeline of work. Where us, personal injury and family, it's like, I'm going to call you, and in theory, you're never going to call again.
Yeah.
In theory. Now, unfortunately, sometimes
they
do.
You're only as good as your next case. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not even that. Maybe you're only as good as the case you're working on now that you're getting paid for, because you have no guarantees that tomorrow's another one. You just don't. And you start one off. So you have to figure out your way to get through all this. Now, when we started this conversation, I was going to go in a different direction, but I'm going to take it there now. We didn't come down pre-prepared with a topic.
No, yeah, we just...
And there's a reason for that. This week has been a freaking monster.
Yeah.
Right?
It's been
a monster week. It's hard to believe we're even sitting here doing this.
Mm.
So what does that mean? It means that we're getting ready for a trial, and the judge has already laid down the law and banged his gavel as loud as he could. No more continuances.
Can we mention that about how it was kind of, this was something that I've never seen, and I imagine you've never seen either.
Oh, I've seen it.
Okay. It was just from like my perspective, we wrote down, yeah, we'll take over. And then the judge writes down like underneath it, yeah, and you are going to trial this date. And it's in like, what, like it's in like a week and a half now. And it was like,
yeah.
Whenever you described it to me, I was like, he didn't actually do that. And I've read it, I was like, oh my God, He really did. He did that. I was like, wow.
And look, I met with those folks on a weekend. Mm-hmm. I talked to him on a weekend. And I had to make a decision because I know this stuff. Like, look, it's not my first rodeo. And I know the forum. I know the judge. And I know the place. And I'm like, all right, there's a decent shot here that I know this case is scheduled 4 weeks from now that I have to be able to try this case and get ready for it. This is – now, if you think that – if you take a case like that with a short fuse and you think you're just going to get it continued, think again. And, you know, the response is going to be, well, that's not fair. They have to give your client a right. It's like, no, fair went out the window, you know, the day we were born. Like, yeah. Fair doesn't count. And we have to be ready for that trial. And we are. Mm-hmm. We are. So what is it? All hands on deck. I had to evaluate my calendar. And I actually looked at my calendar. I'm like, what do we got coming up? A couple briefs in the Court of Appeals. Mm. All right. That's a couple nights and weekends. We're going to be burning the midnight oil.
Yeah.
The real issue is I have something the week right after this that's a monster that we're getting ready for. Yeah. And then in the meantime, like you said, I've had like 10 people call me that want my work or want help. I could say no to that. And I have on some of them. I've said, look, I just can't. I don't have the bandwidth this week to deal with your problem. Mm-hmm. But, you know, then they don't teach you in law school how it's easy for the ethics guy to say, don't take on work you can't do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a mortgage. I got employees. Mm-hmm. I got
a dog to feed.
You got a dog to feed. I got two sons. So there's a balance there that you have to find. And in private practice, it's like you're like a cork in the ocean, man. You're just getting bobbed around all over the place. And this is why if you're going to go out on your own and you're going to start a law practice, get good people around you, even if you're just sharing space, because then you can lay off some work if you need to. And that's what I've done that this week.
Yep.
You saw I met with Paul. Mm-hmm. Said, look, I could use some help here and there. And I trust him implicitly to do what I would do with the case. You got to, of course, inform your clients that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
So-and-so is going to be on this. He's going to be helping. We're going to be working together. Put it in writing. But, it, you know, those are the kind of things that they don't always teach you in law school. At least I remember in ethics learning some of that, but the nuts and bolts of it are different. When you're in the storm, we got a brief due today.
Yeah.
And we're going to find, it's fortunately, we've got a good draft. We're working. It's going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
We had a brief due yesterday. I got it done.
Yeah.
And then we got all this prep to do on these other matters. And I was in meetings all afternoon. So yesterday. So it's like, all right. I'll get it done. How? Well, it's what we do. But
yeah,
they don't teach you that level. I don't know if you could. I mean, you were in the military, I guess. So maybe I'm trying to think of another area where you just live with it. Like if you have a red line here, a line of here that what is your, we'll call it the crap on your shoulders line.
Mm-hmm.
Like when is it too much? Like, but I live with it constantly.
I think the big difference with the military is like, it's pretty far planned out when that crap week's going to happen, you know? So it's like, I mean, there's weeks where we were 24/7 doing something like 3 hours of sleep. Like, that's it. Like, it was miserable. But I had like a 90-day notice, you know? Where here, it's like, I don't know how this week's, next week's going to go. You know, I don't know how the week after that's going to go. It's, which I kind of like and I kind of hate. It makes it a little exciting. I don't know.
I think if you actually got the psychologist out and forced us all to get full-blown psych evals, you would find that what I do tracks with ADHD. I have ADHD. So mm-hmm. I think you would find that it tracks with ADHD.
I can tell you have ADHD upstairs.
Yeah, you can see it. And it's because there's all, like, you have to be able to say, all right, squirrel. Okay, now we got a chipmunk. Let's go chase the deer over there while we're at it. You know, like, mm-hmm. you have to be able to do all those things and then drive them home to, now that's the trick. You have to conquer it and drive them home to completion. And if you're a box checker, you're going to be really successful in life, but not at this job, because I'm in the middle of checking this box. This is done. I got to get this done today. It's on my schedule. I'm going to do it today. And then the phone rings. Judge is on the phone, says you have to be here in court immediately because your client's arrested, or get a phone call. Hey, I've got my neighbor Bob has just been picked up. He's going to appear in federal court for an initial appearance at 2 p.m. Can you be there? Now, look, I understand I want to check that box, but I still got the mortgage and I still got the other thing. And often it's a more interesting project than the one you're working on. So anybody with ADHD knows what that means.
Yeah.
You're going to go chase the shiny lure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a delicate balance. You've got to be able to perform the work, and then you've got to be able to shove it aside. Like, and I know your life is like that too. So you look, you don't even realize how you have come into this somewhat naturally. You've got a side business. You're in law school and you want to work full time at my practice and take on stuff. Like, what kind of moron does that?
I don't say that
with all endearment, right?
It makes the relationship status hard for me, and then also I don't spend enough time with my friends. But you know, it's in my head. I was like, I keep it down for a couple of years. You know,
that's what I said 30 years ago. So look, they don't teach you in law school what it's like to have a week like this when you wake up on Monday and you don't realize what's coming. Like, sometimes you wake up and you realize, all right, I got a monster week, and then it just gets doubled. And sometimes you wake up, I got a monster week, and everything gets resolved. And you don't have to do anything. This was in the middle of the road. Like, we had a monster week, and then more and more and more sort of got piled on, and your personal life gets in the way, your professional life, a new business gets in the way, everything gets in the way, and you somehow have to manage it, and we always do. You always do. But look, managing that stuff, it's not for the faint of heart. And, you know, your dear professors who used to work at the big law firm, they had their own stress. They had their own hourly billing requirements and all that. It's not the same.
I do like the adjuncts a lot, though. I enjoy them. The big thing is, like, when they're teaching, they're like, this is what the textbook, what ABA is like, now you teach you this, and they're like, but this is what's actually happening.
Here's what you're doing.
I love that. Yeah, and I love it. I'm like, awesome.
Here.
Like, that's great.
Yep. Yeah. So, look, you got a topic you want us to cover at the They Don't Teach You That in Law School series, and it doesn't have to be. Even if you're not a law student, you're thinking about going to law school, and you got a question about what that's, you got a resource right here. Troy will be happy to kick it around, and I can try to dust off the cobwebs in my brain and remember what it used to be like. At any rate, this is Lawyer Talk Podcast, where you can check us out at lawyertalkpodcast.com. Send us a question, send us a comment, shoot us a topic, or just like and share. Like and share off the record on the air. Till next week. By the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant, check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you.